Sisters, now I would like to call upon Hujjat al-Islam Mawlana Shamshad Haider to enlighten us all with his speech. Salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم. I thank you all for inviting me. This is an occasion to commemorate the personality and to pay tribute to the great personality of Islam, Hazrat Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh. I would briefly like to draw our attention to a certain points that I would list out first and then talk about them. One is the issue of government in philosophy and in Islam. And then I'll try to just apply it to what Imam Khomeini did in his life. And I'll read a few lines in the end from the history of Sayyidul Shuhada, because this program was announced as a majlis. So I would request to recite aloud salawat, please. If you look at the works of philosophers over history, you will see that they always emphasized that government should be ruled by a philosopher. Government should be ruled by a philosopher. People should be ruled and governed by philosophers. And what did they mean by that? Human beings, they have their spiritual side and their material side. And what truly makes us human beings is our spiritual side, not our material side. If you compare a human being with an animal, for example, if I ask you what is a good horse, you will try to describe a good horse by some physical qualities. A good horse would be a horse that would do what? Run faster, be stronger, right? But if I ask you what is a good human, you're not going to say the one who runs faster or is stronger, right? You'll give a very calculated response. You'll think about the concept of human being in your mind. You'll say, okay, human being, of course, has a physical body, but the aspect that really distinguishes a human being from everything else is the ability to think. Right? That truly is the human being inside us. Now, when we die, this body would perish in the ground. But this spirit, which is truly us, will last and will survive. Correct? So, to worry too much about our bodies would mean that we are confining ourselves to our physical bodies and this few days of this life. But if we are focusing on our spiritual side, then we are talking about eternity. You're talking about forever and ever. Talking about our real selves, what makes us human beings, correct? The philosopher said that a person who rules over the people must have ismat from old times. Aristotle and other philosophers of age, they maintain this, and to this day, those like Ibn Sina and such people who really studied these in a structured manner, right, who studied hikmat, they said a human being who deserves to have power is the one who has ismat in two aspects of his existence. One is intellect, ismat-e-nazari, ismat in his knowledge. That means what he knows should be absolutely right. Right? What he knows should be absolutely right. And the other is ismat-e-amali. That what he does should be absolutely right. There should not be any confusion in his mind about what is right and what is wrong. And when we say that, we mean two things. When, for example, this ismat al-nazari, we mean two things. What we know, of course, there are certain things which should be universally known to all people. So he should know that in the best possible manner, those universal facts, you know, that justice is the highest virtue. Adil is the highest virtue, for instance. He should be sure of that. And the other thing is, not those universal things, the specifics of it. Right? For example, what does that mean really, to be doing justice? Be able to visualize it correctly. Khayal, you know, his takhayul. His mind, his imagination should have a clear picture of that in his mind, not just a vague idea of justice is good. Got it? So, this about nazari, about the intellectual side and the practical side, when we say ismat-e-amali should be infallible, right, in action, in his practical life, basically it means that shuja'at, iffat, and husn tadbir, three things. That means shuja'at, iffat, and what they call hikmat. Hikmat means husn tadbir. Shuja'at means never have fear, as Maulana was pointing out. Like Janab Abbas ibn Ali, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he galloped his horse towards the, you know, Nahr Furat, Al-Khama, the lowest account that you see is several thousand people were guarding the water. And he is one person. And he had to go through the jungle, almost forest-like place. Right? And he was carrying an alam as well. And he was surrounded. And he actually, now, as history accounts that he actually reached and he got the water and he was on his way back. Okay. But what I'm trying to mention is that he did not only did not sense any fear, rather because of his heightened state of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was sensing a certain pleasure in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not fear. Right? Shuja'at is not just the lack of fear, it is rather lack of fear plus the feeling of divine pleasure, bahjat-e-ruhani, in your heart when you are engaged in something, in doing something about which you are sure, first of all, you have a clear picture of it in your mind and you are doing it the right way completely by the order of Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ismat-e-amali, it means that shuja'at, iffat means that he should not go to any extremes in fulfilling his needs or desires. Balance, maintain the right balance. Husn-e-tadbir means hikmat. It means be able to administer those things in himself, his own existence, in people around him, and go broader into the community and the society and the world. Be able to do that. These ideas were not taught by Quran. These are ideas which were present and researched and understood millenniums ago. Okay? Because they were so widely known, there was a deliberate attempt to silence the philosophers. There was a deliberate effort, a planned conspiracy to remove logic and philosophy from curriculum, to remove such thoughts from the minds of young people who may wish or dream to have a government like that. In fact, they confuse philosophy. If you attend a course in philosophy, the first day you go to philosophy, they'll confuse you. Let's say philosophy is defined in 20 different ways, for instance. If you take a course in any other subject, business, commerce, economics, or anything, a computer, they don't say this subject has been defined in 50 different ways. No, you start explaining the rules. Say, this is how the approach works. This is how you do. You know? They teach you the concepts in a rational and logical format, but this is not what they do in philosophy. That's why we have a confused generation. I'm not talking about Shias or Sunnis. I'm talking about people. We have confused generation. So when this confused mind studies Islam, it gets even more confused. Because the religious, the texts are of different kinds. Not all texts are very authentic. Even the Quran, which is the book of Islam, about which there's no doubt that Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very clearly says that there are two kinds of verses in it, right? There are verses with a very clear-cut meaning and the verses which are not so clear. So if the mind doesn't work correctly, Quran cannot be understood correctly. You don't know which verse to turn to which. Right? The need for justice, the need for a ruler like that must be felt, must be known before reading any religious text. Human beings must realize fully who they are and what kind of ruler they deserve to be, they deserve to have. As human beings, not as Shias or Sunnis or Muslims. As human beings, the only government that can possibly provide for these different needs of human beings is the government of a person who is ma'soom in these two ways. Now this need is satisfied in two ways. One is that which Holy Quran speaks about, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. We make them imams, prophets of Bani Israel and the Holy Prophet of Islam, and actually, according to the declaration of the Prophet in Ghadir, the imams after the Holy Prophet. But anyway, imam, in terms of the Quran, leaders of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed, naturally they are ma'soom, because Allah takes responsibility of their actions. They have to be okay, they have to be ma'soom. Otherwise, why would Allah take responsibility of the actions of someone who is not a ma'soom? Has to be, you know, perfect. His knowledge has to be absolutely right. His understanding of that knowledge, how it actually will come out in the real form in the world. And his practical actions, you know, should actually demonstrate that knowledge, should actually apply and bring that knowledge out in the real world, correct? Well, so that could be one model. Of course, that would be the perfect thing to have if Allah appoints some person. Or there would be an imam like that on earth right now who is actually administering justice, actually teaching people, right? The knowledge, hikmat, and kitab, all of that. What if it's the time of ghaibat? What if the imam which Allah wants us to have, he's not physically visible? That means he's not running the show, as they say. What do we do then? If intellectually you have understood this topic, then you will say that intellectual laws cannot take any exceptions. You will have to fulfill that. You will have to find a solution for it. Because just because the imam is in ghaibat doesn't change us. We are still humans, right? We are still humans. We still deserve to have that kind of ruler. We still deserve to have that kind of government. Which means, so what do we do then? Well, the Imam sees the truth and receives the revelation, correct? Guided in his actions, minute by minute, second by second. But the Imam, if he is in ghaibat, the person who sits in his place must be a philosopher in the true sense. Have that hikmat in his mind through burhan, aqli, burhan, aqli, should know the truth, correct? And those, the sharia, the laws of sharia, the practical sides of Islam, must find out, must know through the process of ijtihad. You cannot say, okay, well, who knows when the Imam comes. Religion is about, you know, certain basic ethical instructions, and government is about dirty politics. Government is about, but such people neither understand what religion is nor understand what politics is, because religion is not ethical instructions only. Religion, basically, you know, deen, the word deen, what is deen? If you look at any prophet's life, you will understand it. Since a Nabi or a Rasul was gifted by Allah with a pure soul, so pure that even before coming to this earth, still in the womb of the mother, right, learned the whole truth, learned all there was to know, understood the whole truth, as a philosopher might do over a period of several hundred years or decades. The Nabi of Allah knew Allah like that, because he was born with a true and pure spirit. Was not there were no blemishes on him. There were no genetic effects, morusi effects on the spirit of this child, this Nabi or this Imam. Therefore, it did not take any time for it, for that nutfa or that baby to learn every hikmat, all knowledge, right? Then as the child came to this earth, as a Nabi or a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now comes the things that you cannot know just by thinking. As human beings, there are a lot of things we can know by thinking. But there are certain things you cannot know just by thinking. You have to be taught. That is what we call deen. That is what we call kitab. That is what we call shari'at. Okay? Shari'at is all that knowledge that we cannot gain by ourselves. We must be told. It is revealed, you know. Inna deena indallahi al-islam, for that matter, that what are all those things that you don't know about? Especially given the fact that human beings have matured over so many thousand years, right? Reached the level that the complete shariat is now offered to you. Complete shariat is now offered to you. Not in, like, with a date of expiry. It's a shariat that is now going to be valid for as long as this world lasts. But just having a book is not enough. It has to be a person to apply that book. So you see, whether a Nabi or an Imam or a Mujtahid who thinks like a Nabi, who thinks like an Imam, and who acts like an Imam to the best of his ability, to the best of his ability, right? So much that when he dies, he says, I am dying with a heart full of satisfaction and contentment, right? In the real sense, how many human beings have you seen in history who will speak like that? Except Ali Murtaza alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salam. When he said, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, he had achieved all that, right? This is the son of Ali, who truly did accomplish all that which was the dream of Ali Murtaza alayhi wa ala abaihi salam, that Imam did the same thing in his time. And you apply these thoughts, these ideas, this city was longing for programs like this. And I pray for Allah's blessings upon all the organizers. This city truly needs regular programs like this. We have not had much of it in this city. And what confuses the issue is that many people seem to be talking in good terms about Imam Khomeini, just because everybody likes to hear it, you know. But it is about those practical side of it that you have to see who is truly, genuinely following and doing something about it, and all those who would love to be seen talking about it, because it is in good taste. If something is true, then something needs to be done about it. Why do we know things? Because we can take appropriate action accordingly, right? This is time for Maghrib, so we almost time to do Salat, right? If it was daytime, we'll do something according to the day knowledge. We know something, so we do something accordingly. These are the thoughts and ideas of Imam. Now we know it. What needs to be done about it? Who else than you? You are the people who should be doing intellectual work as a team. Clarify these concepts which have been confused for so long, even by scholars who did not do justice to these ideas, did not fully absorb these ideas, because needs knowledge not just of what Imam Khomeini did, but rather what was in the mind of Imam Khomeini. Well, so many scholars in history have read the same ahadith which Imam Khomeini also read. If you look at his book, Imam Hukumat-e-Islami, you'll see one of which is written right here, a sermon of Imam Hussein in Mina, and many other ahadith, the same ahadith which you are finding in books. How come Imam Khomeini understood this message from the same riwayat and many others could not? Why? Why they couldn't and Imam Khomeini did, right? That's why I started the discussion from a rational approach to the textual approach. The mind must be trained before so that it can understand the text correctly, otherwise you will not. The philosophical duty of bringing justice was known to all awliya and anbiya alayhi salam. Sayyidu Shuhada is no exception. Sayyidu Shuhada knew the duty that was laid upon him, right? The duty in a general sense, must denounce Yazid, must not accept this authority. I am the one who holds these qualities, so this is my divine right and duty to stand up for this cause, correct? But exactly how to do it, when to do it, he's not going to take a step without a command, explicit command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not going to do it without an explicit command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not going to say, okay, I knew it, so I did it. No, I knew it and you told me and I did it, right? And that's what we see, that after he was called by Walid, the governor of Medina, to come, and the news of death of Muawiyah was told, and then the demand of allegiance, and you all aware of what happened. Then that night and the following night, Imam was still in Medina, and then he left the following day. So two full nights he was there. First night he was called, summoned, And that's what this riwayat mentions. فَخَرَجَ الْحُسَيْنُ بْنُ عَلِي مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ وَأَتَى إِلَىٰ قَبْرِ جَدِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ وَسَلَّمَ First night he came and Salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, ana al-Husayn ibn Fatima. Ya Rasulullah, I am Husayn, the son of Fatima. Ana farkhuka wa sibtum min al-khalaf alladhi khalafta ala ummatik. I am the son of Fatima and I am one who you left behind, your grandson, upon this ummat. Wa thiqlu alladhi khalaftahu fi ummatik. And the thiql, one of the two precious things and heavy things that you left among your ummah, Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Fashhad alayhim ya Nabi Allah. So be a witness upon these people, O Prophet of Allah. Innahum qad khadaluni wa zayyauni. O Prophet of Allah, they have deceived me and left me alone. Wa innahum lam yahfaduni. And they did not safeguard me. Wa hadhi shakwaya ilayk. This is my complaint to you. Hatta alqaka sallallahu alayka wa sallam. Until I meet you, this is my complaint. Then he stood up and he started praying. That night he spent in the haram of Rasul Akram. وَلَمْ يَزَلْ رَاكِعًا وَسَاجِدًا. Until Sahar time, Imam was praying. In the morning, at that night, Walid, who had demanded allegiance, he sent somebody again to the house of Sayyid al-Shuhada to check on him. And when they didn't find Imam alayhi salam there, he thought relieved. He said, so he thought Imam Hussein has left Medina. So he said, so now his blood is not on me. Actually, Imam was at the haram. Then, in the morning, of course, Imam went back to his house. فَلَمَّا كَانَتِ اللَّيْلَةُ الثَّانِيَةَ خَرَجَ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ. When the next night came, he came out of his house again to the qabr. Aidan fasalla rak'atayn, and there he offered two rakat prayers. Falamma faragha min salatihi ja'ala yaqul, after he finished his prayers, he faced the qabr of his grandfather. And he said, Allahumma inna hadha qabru nabiyyika Muhammad. Oh Allah, this is the grave of your Prophet Muhammad. Wa ana ibn binti Muhammad, and I am the son of the daughter of this Prophet. وَقَدْ حَذَرَنِي مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ. And the time, the matter has come up which you are aware of, which you know. اللَّهُمَّ وَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَأُكْرِهُ الْمُنْكَرِ. Oh Allah, I love ma'roof, the good things, and I dislike the bad things. وَأَنَا أَسْأَلُكَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ بِحَقِّ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. And I ask you, O Allah, with the name of the Sahib Hadha al-Qabr, وَمَنْ فِيهِ إِلَّا مَا أَخْتَرْتَ مِنْ أَمْرِي, that you choose for me things that you are pleased with. Choose for me what you are pleased with. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَبْكِي. Then Imam Hussein started crying until his head, he put it on the Qabr of Rasul Akram, and then it was between awakening and sleep, like a state of mukashafa that Imam Hussein alayhi salam found himself in, where he saw qad fara'an nabi, he saw the Prophet of Islam coming towards him, fi kabkabatin min al malaika, surrounded by angels flying around him. The Prophet is coming down to earth, an yaminihi wa an shimalihi wa min bayna yadayhi wa min khalfihi. In front of him were angels, behind him were angels. ثُمَّ ضَمَّ الْحُسَيْنَ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. Then he took Imam Hussein in his arms, to his chest. وَقَبَّلَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Then he kissed Sayyid al-Shuhada and said, يَا بُنَيَّ. Just listen to these words and I'll wrap this up. يَا بُنَيَّ يَا حُسَيْن. Oh my son, my dear son Hussein, very soon I will see you مَقْتُول and مَذْبُوح, being killed and slaughtered. بِأَرْضِ كَرْبٍ وَبَلَىٰ, in the land of Karbala, in the hands of a group of my own Muslim community. And you are thirsty and they will not offer you any water. And you will be surrounded by people, and these people will kill you and still hope for my shifaat after killing you. مَا لَهُمْ لَا أَنَا لَهُمُ اللَّهُ شَفَاعَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. May Allah not grant them my shifaat on the day of Qiyamah. حَبِيبِي يَا حُسَيْنِ إِنَّ أَبَاكَ وَأُمَّكَ قَدْ قَدِمُوا عَلَيَّ. My beloved Hussein, your father Ali and your mother Fatima are with me right now. And they have come to me waiting anxiously to see you, Hussein. Imam Hussein, when he saw this scene, when he saw his grandfather, his father and his mother, he said, يَا جَدَّهَ لَا حَاجَةَ لِي فِي الرُّجُوعِ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا. Ya Rasulullah, I have no need to go back to this dunya. فَخُذْنِي إِلَيْكَ وَجَعَلْنِي مَعَكَ فِي مَنْزِلِكَ. Take me with you so that I will with you, be with you in your place in paradise. And Rasulullah Akram said, Ya Hussein, you must go back to this dunya so that you are martyred. And Allah will write for you the great sawab that He has in store only for you. And you with your father and your brother and with your uncle, you will be resurrected on the day of judgment. In one group, resurrected together until you enter the paradise. This was the mushahada of Sayyid al-Shuhada that gave him the order to leave Medina. He left Medina by the explicit order of his grandfather, right? These are awliya. Now, a son of Imam in his time either receives such an order explicitly or by virtue of his ijtihad, he knows his duty. But in any case, the social and political duty is laid upon all Muslims, particularly the mujtahideen and the one who has the most knowledge of hikmat and deen, that he can run the society and treat people like human beings, because we are desperate to have such leaders. Al-Istirar ila al-Hujja. I'll just finish this up. In the book of Kafi, you see that regarding the belief in imamat, Marhum Kulaini says, Al-Istirar ila al-Hujja. What defines us Shia Muslims from others is that we feel the desperate need of a hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just think or accept the idea that there should be a hujjat of Allah. We anxiously feel, where is the imam? And that is the intizar. Therefore we are preparing the society. We are preparing changing the culture, changing our habits, changing the way we think, right? Raising children in such a way that they can stand up for this cause. All in preparation for the zuhur of Imam. It is the ihsan and minnat of Imam Khomeini upon us that we are talking about this today. That we have this awareness, that we can think outside of this, our rituals and our daily, you know, things that we do, that we look at the society and we have a program for it. No community can succeed without a program. It's not enough that you have books. You must have an ideology. If you have not made your ideology, it's about time to discuss, understand, realize it. Work together and make it happen, inshallah. Salawat.